John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, who has come to him in the nighttime and to seek wisdom and spiritual direction. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Next Sunday is the day of Pentecost. It's the day the Holy Spirit came upon the Christ followers who were gathered obediently in Jerusalem, doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do when he returned to the Father 10 days before. We will celebrate that day next week. This week we're preparing for Pentecost, and we're going to briefly examine how we, the followers of Jesus, make visible what is invisible. So here goes. Matthew Nowakowski bought a sailboat. The interesting thing about sailboats is they need wind in their sails to move. He has a diesel motor on it, but sailboats have sails, okay? This photo of Matt's vessel shows that it's moored with its sails furled, which is the wise thing to do when it's moored, since life would get pretty interesting if he tried to tie it up to the dock with the sails fully extended. But when Matt takes his boat out, he unfurls the sails, and they catch the wind, and away he goes. He can't see the wind, but he knows it's there because the canvas sails are filled with that wind, and it propels him across Lake Erie. Even if Matt gathers in the sails several miles out into the lake, he still knows that there's wind because he can see it moving the surface of the lake into waves. He can't see the wind, but it's there. When wind is not present, Matthew would know about that too. There's something out in the ocean along the equator that sailors call the doldrums. You've heard when people are in the doldrums, they're like the wind's out of their sails, actually. Officially, the doldrums are known as the intertropical convergence zone. That's why sailors have to come up with a better name for it. Wikipedia says this: the intertropical convergence zone, known by sailors as the doldrums or the calms because of its monotonous, windless weather, is the area where the northeast and the southeast trade winds converge. It encircles the Earth near the thermal equator, though its specific variation varies seasonally. So you can see on that, that's right across the middle of the Earth. In the days before steam and fuel-driven ships, and when back when the main propulsion was sails, galleons, Some ships had oars and galley slaves running them, perhaps, but the main propulsion was sails. Ships would get caught in the doldrums, and they might languish there for days or even weeks as they ran low on food and as they ran low on water, and as the sun beat down relentlessly. When the doldrums are happening, there's no rain. You can't even collect rainwater. And it could be boring for a while. You could be in the doldrums, okay? Then after a while, it could become dangerous as you just weren't moving anywhere. The sailors couldn't see or feel the wind. But then these broiling mariners certainly knew what was happening when the wind finally stirred again and brought them out of the doldrums, maybe with a storm. We are the sails, and the Holy Spirit is the wind propelling us. By the way, the word for spirit in Hebrew and in Aramaic and in Greek, which were the main languages of the known world in the time of Jesus and in the time of the Bible, of the New Testament being written, the words in those languages for wind is also the word for spirit. Okay, they're interchangeable. And so this makes Jesus's illustration of the wind of the Spirit very helpful. And we know that the Spirit is just as invisible, but he's just as evident. Now, we just heard Jesus talking to Nicodemus about the Holy Spirit. As he said, a lot of puzzling things to this Pharisee who had come to him in the dark of night. It's puzzling to me, too. In fact, it's puzzling to everyone, so let's learn together. Jesus begins by telling Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a learned man, but he needed to learn more, and he knew that. That's the cool thing about him coming to Jesus. And he came to Jesus because he knew that Jesus was no ordinary rabbi. He calls him rabbi. He knows that he's no ordinary rabbi. He knows that he's not just some itinerant street preacher. Something was different about Jesus, and Nicodemus knew it. In fact, in the verse prior to where I begin, he told Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. Now, here was a member of the Jewish ruling council, which was called the Sanhedrin, and he's admitting that he and his colleagues knew that Jesus was from God. That's what makes things really interesting later in Jesus' walk, as they want him dead. Not Nicodemus, but his colleagues who knew that Jesus was from God. The thing that is different here about Nicodemus is that he wasn't threatened by Jesus. Instead, he wanted to learn more from him. And the first thing he learned was he needed to be born again. He needed to be completely new. The old formulas that he knew from the Old Testament, which were promised, we had that scripture from Carolyn earlier, how God is promising a new thing. The old formulas there in the Old Testament law were driven by human effort. The problem with human effort is that you end up in the doldrums. You end up paddling along with cupped hands. Just imagine a ship that's 150 feet long and trying to paddle it with your hands. It's frustrating in a tube, let alone a big wooden ship. Sooner or later, you just give up from exhaustion. And that's what happens when you try to save yourself. Jesus was offering a completely new plan, but it required being born again. Nicodemus's head had to be shaking at this thought. How can I crawl back into my mother's womb? I mean, if it was even physically possible, which it wasn't, his mother might not even be living anymore. I can't do this. My mom's gone. And I can picture Jesus smiling in the darkness and clarifying it this way. Just think about it, Nicodemus. You're a smart man. You need God to start with you from the ground up like a newborn infant. As an adult, you think you've got the world by the tail, but you come up short. But a newborn baby is completely dependent on his parents for safety and for sustenance and for warmth, for everything. Babies need everything. To be born again means to be completely, completely reliant on God. Nicodemus struggled, but he got it eventually. Later in John 19:39, we see him assisting Joseph of Arimathea, retrieving Jesus' body from the cross, and he's the one who brought along 75 pounds of embalming spices to prepare the body of the Savior for burial. He believed in Jesus. His heart was breaking at that point, but I believe that here Nicodemus saw in Jesus the kingdom of God. But then Jesus says something else. He talks about the Holy Spirit. Specifically, he says this, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And that means to be born again means being filled with the Spirit. An expression I've often heard, and I'm sure that somebody here has used this expression over the years, "My mama carried me here to church," which means very simply, the one saying it has gone to that particular church ever since they were born. It's true about a number of you here at ABC. Yesterday, our firstborn was born 40 years ago. I think it's okay to say her age. If not, it's too late now. But anyway, 40 years ago, she was born, and Kathy carried her to church. That was a Friday night, so that Kathy could go back to work on a Monday, 6 weeks later. We were strategic about it. And so the next Sunday, she carried Sheila to church here. Sheila's been coming to church here a long time. What reveals is that baby didn't get here by itself. Dale was born on April 16th, which means that on that day it snowed, because it always snows on Dale's birthday. So if since it was cold, if his mom put him out on the porch out at the farm and told him to, "Come on, Dale, get along to church," which in those days was right on the other side of the meadow, on the other side of the cemetery, poor little Dale would have frozen to death, because mama had to carry him to church. He was an infant and completely incapable of getting to church, whether it was across the field or across the porch. It's that way for us when we are born again or born anew. We need the Spirit to propel us. Matthew's sailboat is wonderful if there's wind. If there's no wind, it just sits there. And that's fine. But sailboats are designed to be propelled by wind, not just sitting there as a waste. So it is for us if we are born again and not propelled by the Holy Spirit. God designed us to be propelled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to be moving. The Holy Spirit wants us to be moving. We need to be the sails catching the wind of the Holy Spirit. Try this when you leave the church today. Don't worry about what people might think as you're walking out. Try to catch the wind, okay? Okay, just try that. You can't. You can't catch the wind. You cannot control the wind, but it can catch me and it can control you. If you've ever carried a 4x8 sheet of plywood on a roof, you know how the wind can take you. So it is with the Holy Spirit. He's speaking into our lives and he's propelling us along. Now, don't get me wrong, and you already know this, but this doesn't make us into robots being manipulated by unseen hands. We have been born again to allow the Spirit to guide us for his kingdom purposes. If you're puzzled with this, you're not alone. I am too. So was Nicodemus. So you've got company. In Nicodemus's case, he wanted answers. And Jesus' response was, "You shouldn't be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. And so it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit." It's like this. You don't understand everything about the wind, no matter what people think. You don't understand everything about the wind or its effects. And so it is with the Spirit. Jesus wanted Nicodemus to know that he didn't have to understand everything about the new birth before he experienced it. He just wanted us to go forward fearlessly and trust him about it. So this is as far as I'm going today. Next week, we will be in Acts 2 as we prepare for Pentecost Sunday, which is next week. What would be good for you as you prepare for that would be to read Acts 2. Read Acts 1 and 2. In preparation. But remember and ponder these things as we go forward. Unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. But when we are born again, we have a new heart and a new spirit. And because we are born again, the world can see the kingdom of God in us. In us, which makes us God's instruments as he's making visible the invisible reality of his kingdom. The world can't see the Holy Spirit, but the world can see us full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bless you and we thank you and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that when you returned to heaven, you didn't leave us alone. You sent an advocate, a counselor, an advisor. And thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to us. Bless us as we are filled, our sails are filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.